are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a ton of stuff to get to on the program today, including Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. If you haven't gotten playbook yet, I don't know what to tell you, all right? I guess you don't want to win. But if you want to win at the NFL preseason, Mark Lawrence has a preseason newsletter as well as part of the playbook.com package. So Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We're going to continue our weekly college football conference previews with Mark Lawrence. And we're getting to the end of the line right now. We're stepping up and in. Prime time, baby. SEC. Last week we did the Pac-12. This week we've got the SEC. So I believe we wrap it up next week with the belt. The Sun Belt. So this is our last glamorous college football conference we're going to break down. And man, SEC, there's a ton of freaking teams in the SEC. We're not going to be able to get to them all. We'll try to get to them in the quick hits, rapid fire style. But Mark Lawrence is going to join us. We're going to talk SEC football, Alabama, LSU. You go down the list as far as the SEC is concerned. But, you know, truth be told, Alabama is really the only team to have a legitimate chance of winning the championship coming out of this conference. You know, the SEC, a little bit overrated, but still, overall, still the best conference. And we'll get to that with Mark Lawrence. You want to talk some fantasy football? Greg Sussman's going to join us, Roto expert. The editor of SportsGrid.com will step up and in and join us to talk some fantasy football, what's going on in the fantasy football world, including I want to talk about this ESPN draft auction stuff and the controversy surrounding that with Sussman a little bit. We'll get to that in a second. Already week 9 right now, the Canadian Football League. Man, this summer's just flown by. I guess the older we get, the faster time goes, but we're already in week 9 right now, the Canadian Football League, and the countdown is on, man. Week 9 of the CFL, college football kicks off in 10 days, and I believe that the National Football League kicks off in officially 20 days from now. But my math isn't great, but I believe it is 20 days, the Thursday nighter. The football season is nearly freaking here. We got NFL preseason back on the card tomorrow, but Bano joins us today instead of Thursday. We're shaking things up this week. But we're going to focus in on the CFL, little NFL preseason, with Ian Cameron from SportsMemo.com. We got breaking news as far as Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather is concerned. The Nevada State Athletic Commission, being the beacons of integrity that they are, have decided to allow 8-ounce gloves for this fight. A lot of people, and suddenly the line has come down, and it's coming down. You know, it's as low as minus 357 right now at some spots. You know, normally I won't name the spot, but I will because they're good people. Sports Interaction, it's minus 357 right now over to SIA. And it's funny because normally Sports Interaction will actually juice the favorites up when it comes to combat sports. Each sports book is different. I'm going to do a show on sports books, actually, before the season starts. Each show is different. Each sports book is different. And SIA normally juice up the favorites, but 357 on Conor, wow. You know, I don't know if people realize this, but Floyd Mayweather's fought his entire career with 8-ounce gloves, right? Like, people are like, oh, big advantage, Conor McGregor. Is it? Is it? But like I said, man, you know, Conor fans are like Trump backers, you know. They're in to the end, that type of deal, no matter what. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. So let's get right down to business. I don't like to get too political here on a Fantasy Sports Network. Now, I'm not afraid to get political online. I'm not afraid to get political on my private podcasts that are on my own business. But I understand you're tuning into the Fantasy Sports Network for fantasy sports advice. You want to win your fantasy league. You want to win some money playing DraftKings or FanDuel. Or you want to win your sports bet. And I totally get it. But with that being stated, I don't think it's too political to say that white supremacists and wannabe Nazis are human filth and are the scum of the earth right now. I don't think that's a very controversial stance, even though it might be to some people in a position of power, all right? You know, like, really, our grandparents risked their freaking lives and some of them died fighting against these Nazi scum. Now you got jackasses walking around the streets of America with Nazi flags? You should run them all over. The wrong people got run over over the weekend, in my opinion. But nevertheless, the reason I bring this up is because somehow fantasy football players have been dragged into the hatred somehow. All right? It's been a nasty freaking weekend, man, and there's no doubt about it, but you're tuning into this network to get away from that stuff. But I'm sure you've heard about the controversy, and if you haven't, here's the deal. ESPN, on one of their million networks that they have, had a fantasy football marathon over the weekend. All right? All things fantasy all the time for like 48 hours. It was a marathon. Part of the marathon was a draft auction. A live draft auction at that. So a live draft auction, had a bunch of people in chairs. Like, you know, it was like an auction. People putting up their, you know, making bids on players. So ESPN is now being accused of being rabid racists for holding a fantasy auction draft. Because, and oh, you know, Odell Beckham's freaking out. You know, Odell Beckham is it's unbelievable. And all kinds of people are freaking out, calling ESPN insensitive, especially after what happened over the weekend. So what's the deal? Because a bunch of Nazi white supremacist, low-life, filth-ass scumbags out of the world decide to march, what, fantasy football drafts get canceled? Does anybody that bid on a car online, are you racist? Hey, you're bidding at an auction on a car? Man, that's, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Like, what about that website, youbid.com? Is that run by the KKK? like, there are enough reasons, and there is enough racism in this world to get upset about. And this is my biggest beef with society as a whole right now. We all wake up in the morning, and I'm guilty of it. We all wake up in the morning, log on, see on Twitter, and what's the outrage of the day? You know what? What happened in Charlottesville is a real freaking outrage. A bunch of jackasses holding a fantasy football league auction is not an outrage, all right? And I'm not a defender of ESPN, but it seems to me that ESPN can really, whatever they do, people are going to call them out for it. You know, somehow ESPN ratings are down. Well, there's a million reasons why they're down. Yet the alt-right campaigns that they're down because ESPN is too liberal. Yeah, because they fired Curt Schilling for talking about Nazis during a Little League broadcast. Yeah, I know. That was extreme. You know, like, what do you mean too liberal? I don't see any politics when I watch ESPN. You know, people, it's all in the eye of the beholder. If you want to get upset about something, you get upset about something. So NFL ratings were down last year, so they blame Kaepernick. Real easy thing to do. Let's blame Kaepernick. Let's play the race card on Kaepernick right now. And ESPN has actually freaking relented to these jerk-offs by bringing back Hank Williams. You know, great song. Are you ready for some football and all that type of stuff? Well, you know what? Hank Williams isn't the most politically correct person in the world. They're clearly trying to throw a bone back to the right. So now the left steps up and then, boom, on ESPN. Oh, how dare you hold a fantasy league auction? As I stated, there's enough hatred in the world. There's enough racism in this world. There are enough legitimate things for us to get upset about. People bidding on fantasy football players is not freaking one of them. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Let's rock and roll. We've got three guests on the program today. We're jam-packed. We've got Mark Lawrence, Greg Sussman, and Ian Cameron. Ian Cameron and Mark Lawrence were both in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago. Greg Sussman, Roto expert and the editor of SportsGrid.com. Ton of fantasy information over at SportsGrid.com right now. Everybody's got fantasy football fever. I mentioned the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I guess they pretty much got paid off to allow the 8-ounce glove thing. And people think it's an advantage for Connor when it really isn't an advantage for Connor. And now the number's plummeting. It's as low as minus 357 right now for Floyd Mayweather. And this is crazy, man. How about the guy that just bet $880,000 last week on minus 550? Not the sharpest thing to do when the number's coming down, bro. But right now at Floyd Mayweather minus 350, we're getting into the territory where we can actually parlay a college football game, even a pretty big favorite next Saturday, with Floyd Mayweather. And a man that's going to have you ready. And you know what? Life is busy. We don't have time to cap every damn college football game. But Mark Lawrence works 16 hours a day. He loves it. He crunches the numbers. That's what he does. That's why he's the best in the business. What's going on, Mark?
Doing terrific, Gabe. How are you doing?
Always a pleasure, Mark. So let's get right down to business and talk some SEC. Next week, we got to bite the bullet and talk about the Sun Belt, but we cover them all, Mark. So, and then we'll start talking NFL, right? So we timed this pretty well, actually. We'll jump into the NFL in 2 weeks with you, Mark. Last week, we talked about the Pac-12. So once again, a high-profile conference in the SEC. But, you know, the Pac-12's really coming on. Some great talent in the Pac-12 right now. The Big Ten plays some very, very good football. There are some – it's a deep conference, the Big Ten. All right? There's some good football teams in the Big Ten. The ACC, a couple of years ago, let's say 5-6 years ago, the ACC used to embarrass themselves in BCS bowl games and get tattooed. Not anymore. And they're the defending national champion. But with all that being stated, the SEC is still the king, Mark. You can't dispute the fact that they just had an NCAA high 53 players taken in the NFL draft. You can't dispute the fact that they played in 10 of the last 11 title games. And we can't dispute the fact that they've won 8 of the last 11 national championships. Until those numbers start to come down a little bit, I don't care about what the SEC haters say. The SEC is still king.
Still king of the hill, unquestionably, Gabe. That's the conference that everybody has a buzz about because they do one thing better than everybody else. That's win big football games, and they win more of them than any other conference. Like you say, that's the reason that they've been in 10 of the last 11 championship title games.
But let's be real. It's a top, you know, Alabama. It reminds me of basketball at the SEC. It's okay, but Kentucky's really good. And it's the same thing here. Yeah, they produce NFL teams. I don't know. Maybe it's because they beat each other up in the SEC. I do believe the SEC is slightly overrated as a whole. But I don't think Alabama are underrated or overrated. You know, Alabama are what they are. They're damn good. So let's take a look. They're the favorites to win it all at plus 350. They're minus 200 to make the playoffs. They're minus 225 to win the SEC. I'm seeing win totals at 10.5, but it's minus 220 to the over. I know there are some 11s out there right now. And this is a crazy stat that Mark Lawrence has. And just the fact, the Alabama coaching staff are paid a combined $17 million, man. $17 million. That's more than a lot of NFL teams.
That's more money than you make, Gabe, $17 million.
It's more money than I made in my life.
Or maybe we'll make in our lives. But the bottom line is they're well, well fortified, that SEC staff is, for all the right reasons, because they help recruit. And recruiting is the key, is what drives this conference. They recruit better than any other conference in the country. They have coaches and the staff that can reel the players in. And once they're there, they can coach them up. So that's the reason they have this big, big payroll in the SEC.
Yeah, I got to believe that the trainer makes more money than I do at Alabama. Like the kid that, like, with the towel that rubs the football, gets the mud and the grass off, he's probably making more than me. But that's,
he's pulling down a quarter mil a year.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
But that's exactly it. That's besides the point. All right, so they lost 10 guys to the NFL, but whatever. I mean, they lose 10 guys to the NFL every year. They actually lost less guys this year than they normally do, to be honest, with 10 guys. But they have 6 starters back on both sides in the football. And you look at the offense, you know, I'm never really concerned about the defense, although they did lose Jonathan Allen up front. They lost some guys up front, but they're stacked. Their secondary's deep. They've got experience back in the secondary once again. But offensively, people sort of forget, man, Jalen Hurts was a freshman last year. And, you know, this kid got thrown into the fire and handled himself. Was he the best pocket passer? No. But I think he'll be a better pocket passer this year in year two. I'm interested to see what kind of offense they settle into. Will they just ride Bo Scarborough and the deep stable of backs that they have? They got to get Ridley involved a little bit. I mean, we had Kiffin, then we had Sarkisian. I know Saban would sort of like to get to back to running the football a little bit more.
Well, he brings Brian Daboll in, the offensive coordinator from the New England Patriots, and that's not a step backwards, believe me. I don't think they'll lose anything there that way. And this offense really hit on all cylinders last year. What Saban has to love is the fact that he came within 1 second, Gabe, of winning the national championship last year with a freshman quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who's back this year. And that also brings into the fact that the stat that Alabama in games, Nick Saban in games, after he loses a bowl game, he's 40-3. the next seasons. So you can rest assured that he'll be playing with vengeance this football season here. I would be shocked if they don't make the college football playoffs this season.
Yeah, so would I. And, you know, their schedule, they open up against Florida State in Atlanta in that new stadium that everybody's seeing pictures of today online. So they open up in that football game, Mark. And am I crazy to say that they're going to be double-digit favorites in every other game? I'm looking at this schedule. All right, Fresno State, monster favorites. Colorado State, monster favorites. At Vandy, that's a minus 14 or a minus 17. Ole Miss, like, I don't see where they're not double-digit favorites. Even against LSU. I mean, maybe against LSU it's 9 or something like that. But, you know, like, really, this is a very manageable schedule for them. And I don't like suggesting to bet over 10.5, 11, but I'm looking at a 12-0 season here, 11-1 at worst.
No back-to-back road games for this team, Gabe. The only way they're not double-digit favorites moving out is if they stub their toe along the way down the stretch, which I doubt will happen this football season here. The biggest gauge will be Game 1 against Florida State. They're a 7.5-point favorite against a team that they could likely meet in the college football playoffs at year's end.
Now, for the record, Nick Saban is 40-1 straight up versus sub-500 teams while coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide. To me, there's a big drop-off after this. This is the thing with the SEC. Alabama are epic. They're awesome, and they're all those adjectives. But then there's a drop-off. We got LSU. LSU are 12-1 to win it all. That's not value, in my opinion. They're plus 450 to make the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. They're plus 600. I'm really pissing LSU fans off before you get into the preview, I think, here, Mark. They're plus 600 to win the SEC. The win total is 9.5 minus 130. Listen, I know that Ed Oregon's a good guy. I know that he's a hell of a recruiter. I know that the kids really like him. But I also know that he's 2-18 straight up versus teams with a winning record in the SEC. And I also know LSU haven't had a quarterback in forever. And I'm not buying into Danny Etling this year, Mark. I'm not buying the Kool-Aid out of Baton Rouge this year.
I didn't buy into Danny Etling last year, the Purdue transfer, who played there only because they had rotten quarterbacks in front of him. And I'm also not buying into Ed Ogeron. I think he's a lifetime Peter principle coach, a coach that rises to the level of incompetence. I think he's a great, great recruiter. He's a great assistant coach, and I think he's going to be on the hot seat this football season here. I don't think they make their win total this season.
Yeah, they lose their two top wide receivers. Not that it matters. They can't throw the ball anyways, but they lose their two. They lose Leonard Fournette. I know they've got a good running back stepping up and in. Their defense, okay, the defense is going to be a problem, but that defense isn't as stingy as it's been in past years even. That's starting to show some leaks. You lose Trey White, who's a hell of a football player, to the Buffalo Bills as well. I look at their schedule. I think they start 5-0, Mark, but then I think the wheels will fall off. You look at the stretch, man, at the Florida Gators, at Alabama, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M. Those are four brutal road games on the season. There's no room for error for this team to go over 9.5 wins, Mark. I just don't see it. I like under 9.5.
I'm under with you, Gabe, on this as well, 9.5. I think they win 8 games at best this year. What's going to benefit them the most is the fact that last year, underclassmen made nearly 42% of their starts. They'll be back this year. That's good news for Ed Ogeron. But again, this pressure is all squarely on him to out-coach other coaches. It remains to be seen.
All right, so speaking of coaches, this is a good coach here in Gus Malzahn. I have a lot of respect for Gus Malzahn. He's 28-1 to win a national championship, his second national championship if it happened. Auburn, plus 600 to make the playoffs, plus 700 to win the SEC. I like Auburn a lot this year, Mark. I really do. But I think there might be a little bit, the expectations might be a little bit high as far as this plus 600 to make the playoffs stuff. They haven't had a quarterback since the Cam Newton days. They do now. Jared Stidham comes over from the Baylor Bears. I'm a big Jared Stidham fan. Stidham can ball, man. He's a perfect fit, too. He can run a little bit, but he's got a cannon of an arm. Auburn always have good wide receivers, but no one can ever get him the damn football. I'm very excited about what Jared Stidham brings to the table. They've got 8 starters back on both sides of the football. They got 2 stud running backs. Marlon Davidson leads a stacked freaking defense, man. This is a dangerous football team, this team, Mark. I don't think they're going to the playoffs, but I look at win totals in the 8.5 range, and I think they could be a 9-win team.
I think 9 wins is, but this is one of the best overseason win totals in the SEC, Auburn to go over here. I'm with you. I love their running back, Cameron Petway. He averaged 122 yards on the ground last year. That's more than any returning FBS running back coming back this year into that stacked backfield. And you got a defensive coordinator in Kevin Steele who came about last year and improved that defense almost 50 yards a game. I think this football team has got real sleeper written all over it. And I think they'll battle Alabama for the SEC West title in the last game of the season.
Schedule is hard. They're the three road games in a row. LSU, Arkansas, and A&M. But let's be real. The Arkansas game is winnable. The A&M game is winnable. And the LSU game could be winnable as well. I mean, I think they can go 2-1 in that little run there.
I think they can, too. This is Gus Malzahn, who doesn't get out-coached very many times in very many football games. And I'm a big, big, like you, Jarrett Stidham fan. I think this transfer that they're going to have here is going to be much like what Cam Newton did to Auburn when he infused that program. I think you're going to see a lot of the same thing with Stidham this year.
And one thing, we mentioned they've got some tough games. You had to go to LSU, to go to Arkansas, to A&M. They do host Alabama in the last game of the year. But in between that, there's a lot of cream puffs in there too, Mark.
<You know? laughs> That's what some of the SEC's all about, some cream puffs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like they do play at Clemson. I tell you what, they beat the Clemson Tigers. And Cameron 2 Drew's in the room right now. He loves the Clemson Tigers. He's like, no way in hell they beat Clemson in week two. They beat Clemson in week two, and then there is big national title talk around Auburn.
Unquestionably. And, you know, that don't be a surprise. I mean, to take down Clemson, Clemson's a little bit fat after that national championship they had last year. Your cameraman's real happy, so are all the Tiger fans, but there's also letdown written for the Tigers this season as well.
Yeah, our cameraman's about to find out. College football, there's ups and downs. You're not just replacing Deshaun Watson this easily and everybody else. All right, let's talk about a team that I'm looking forward to a football game. It's going to be a big game in week two, actually. So the Georgia Bulldogs, Mark, 33-1 to win it all. They're plus 800 to make the playoffs. They're plus 800 to win the SEC. Their win total is also 8.5. They play in that soft division, though. Minus 130 the over. And I got to tell you, Mark, I'm going to Vegas because I got to get into the Westgate Super Contest in a couple of weeks. And, man, yeah, this team is more stacked than a dancer over at the Spearman Rhino is, all right? Like, they're freaking loaded in Athens this year. Just they're as drunk as the kids that go to the games, man.
They were going to bring the world's largest cocktail party phrase back in Georgia.
Yeah.
Alone, just the Georgia alone. This team has only six teams on their slate this year, Gabe. They had winning records last year. And they won four of their final five games of the football season to close out with momentum last season. This is the team to beat in the SEC East. Undoubtedly, when they play Florida, the winner of that game will likely win the crown. But I make Georgia the pick in the East.
They've got 18 starters back. Jacob Eason's back at quarterback. Little inconsistent accuracy problems last year. But we saw the kids step up with big plays late in football games as well. I like the look of Eason. I like him better than I think a lot. I read a lot of stuff about him, and there's a lot of criticism. Well, we'll see what Eason can do. Eason's going to be just fine. They just need to protect them. And you've got a deep stable of running backs here with Nick Chubb. You've got NFL-caliber running backs in Georgia.
At both positions here and behind them as well. So they go real, real deep in the backfield, does this football team here. And again, once again, Kirby Smart did the good thing last football season here. He played a lot of young kids to get ready for this season.
Yeah, their defense last year, top 20 versus both the run and the pass last year. And they're stacked. They're going to be real hard to move the football on this team. All right, the big game, Mark, week two at South Bend sort of defines the season. And, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs, they've always reminded me of the Dallas Cowboys. Flashy, hot cheerleaders, big infrastructure, ultra-popular team, but they always underachieve. The Georgia Bulldogs are an underachieving university as a whole, but hindsight, you look, hey, Rick did a pretty good job there. They've won a lot. They produced a ton of talent for the NFL. Can they win football games? Do they beat Notre Dame in week two?
I don't think they do, Gabe. I think it's a real tough spot for the Bulldogs, but, you know, the whole rest of the season is ahead of them after that. They can rebound, take that loss, and move forward and learn with what happened in South Bend. If they do beat the Irish, it's only a confidence builder here, but I wouldn't give up on Georgia if they don't beat Notre Dame in South Bend.
You know what? I don't believe they'll win either. I want to. I don't like Notre Dame. So, like, the fan in me is like wants to talk my ass, take Georgia here. But this is what I'm talking about with the SEC. Georgia should be able to win this game, in my opinion. You're as loaded as you are. you're pretty much a favorite to win your division in the SEC. You know, how come you can't beat a mediocre Irish team? But some people think the Irish are sleepers this year, right? So, you know, I don't know. But all right, what about the 8.5, though, here? They go, they're at Tennessee in week 5. They go to Auburn on November the 11th, and they end the season at Georgia Tech. But really, it's a pretty manageable schedule for Kirby Smart this year. They should get to 9.
They should get to 9, Gabe. Like I said, only 6 opponents had on their record, on their slate, had winning records last year. So that game in Notre Dame will probably go a long way towards whether they get over this total here. But I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia ends up with 10 wins some way, somehow this year.
Florida Gators, 51 to win it all, 800 to make the playoffs, 10 to 1 to win the SEC. Win total is 7.5. 9 starters back on offense. You know, you wonder about the quarterback position here. They got the kid Franks in there. They got Malika Zaire has transferred over there. Incredibly enough, as Mark Lawrence writes in a playbook, since Tim Tebow left in 2009, no Gator quarterback has thrown for more than 2,500 yards or thrown for more than 12 touchdown passes. They got a decent running back in Jordan Scarlett. The defense lost a ton of talent to the NFL. I'm not really in love with this team, actually. And it's funny, I thought Michigan was too highly favored when it was -4, -5 for the opener. And now that it's approaching, I see the suspensions and I see the holes on Florida's defense. I think Michigan beat them in week 1. I'm not in love with this Gator team.
Well, you know, I have a theory that I do, Gabe, and it's when you improve statistically, offensively and defensively, but you go backwards straight up into the spread, that's almost always an indicator of a good season on tap. That's what the Florida Gators are last year. They improved on both sides of the ball last year. Didn't show it in the record here, so they should improve at least on what they did last year. And again, I'm going to come back and say it all goes down to the Florida-Georgia football game. The winner of that likely wins this division.
All right, quick hits on the way out in about a minute, Mark. I'll just rattle off the rest of the teams, and you tell me on the way out if there's one of these teams you're going to keep your eye on. And I think I know a couple of them that you are. Kentucky Wildcats, 17 returning starters. Keep your eye on them. Mizzou, 10 starters back on offense. Defense is a sieve. Their game's going to go over the number. Tennessee Volunteers, nice knowing you, Butch. You know, this could be it for you here. Back to the MAC for you. A&M, I remember from the conference, Mark, you said it. Kevin Sumlin, one of the biggest money burners in college football. Arkansas, they got a great coach, Brent Bielema. Just ask him. Mississippi State, I tell you what, man, this is a scrappy football team. I think Mississippi State are going to be a real bitch to play this year, Mark. I think they can cover some point spreads. Mississippi's got talent, but you got to wonder where they're at right now. Game cost going in the right directions. And even Vanderbilt, 16 returning starters. They could be an ATS play, couldn't they?
That's my sleeper team, Vanderbilt, Gabe. I love this team. They were top 5 red zone offense, top 5 red zone defense last year. They got a ton of experience coming back. Look out for the Commies this football season here. And the Vols, it's a football team is going to take on 9 bowlers. Their defense was bad last year, almost 100 yards. They go down backwards big time this year, does Tennessee. And also Kentucky, it's a football team that tasted a rare winning season last year. I don't know if they got back-to-back winning seasons in them 2 years in a row.
You know what I love about it, too? Vandy's going to get no respect. We're going to get a nice boatload of points with the Commodores all the time, and we'll be able to cash the numbers. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Be good. I'll catch you next week.
There's Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Pick up the magazine at your favorite newsstand or order it online. Get the digital version. Get it on your phone. Playbook.com. Game Time Decisions continues.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to the start of the National Football League regular season. I believe we are now just 20 days away from kickoff, man. The Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. And I'm already flirting with the idea of taking the Kansas City Chiefs plus the points in that football game. Although history tells us that the Super Bowl winner has absolutely demolished the opponent in these season openers for the most part. Except last year, Denver didn't demolish Carolina, but they did win the football game. Fantasy football fever in the air. Go over to rotoexperts.com/discount if you want to win your fantasy football league. Listen, why don't you want to win? It'll cost you like $35. You're going to get 10% off. Promo code RAGE or promo code SUSMANIA. SUSMANIA for the one and only Greg Sussman, editor of SportsGrid.com and Roto Expert. Steps up and in. What's going on, Sussman?
Hey, what's going on, man?
We're doing all right. Always a pleasure. So, before we get to a couple of players I want to talk about, on a more serious note, there's obviously a lot of tension in the air right now in America. It's a very, very ugly time, ugly weekend over the weekend. And somehow fantasy football got dragged into all of this with the ESPN auction. And I'm not going to be 100,000% tone deaf and say, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. But at the same point in time, I think we have to arrive at a point in society in which a fantasy football draft can't get labeled in as an ultra-racist gathering because people are bidding on football players. Now, it was pointed out to me that, you know what? Everybody in the crowd at the auction was white. Okay, you know what? Maybe somebody at ESPN should have said, let's look at this. Is this a shot of Paul Ryan and his interns, or is this a fantasy football auction? But there's enough real racism and enough real hate in this world to condemn and to shut down. I don't like the fake outrage and just sort of the, let's get upset about this for a couple hours now. Greg, what's your take on this?
Listen, do I think everybody drafting Odell Beckham on ESPN is racist? No. Do I think it could have been handled better? Obviously. We talked about this on the morning show today, and we actually did our own mock auction in a totally different way. It's one thing if you have 12 guys, 4 guys, whatever, sitting around a table having an auction. It was the way they presented everything on ESPN with, heads on a stick, with a little platform, with the auctioneer, right? It was just like a little much. Like, how does nobody in this process just be like, you know what? Probably not the best idea. It wasn't the auction so much. It was the way they presented it. And I understand we work in the TV business. I understand it's a TV show. I get it. There's ratings. It's not very fun to have 12 guys sitting around a table and saying, yeah, I'll take Odell Beckham. No, I'll take Odell Beckham. They wanted the pizzazz, and unfortunately, that turned into an incident I don't think anybody wanted.
You know, it's a good point that you raise in that, okay, A, they could have said, because this happened on Sunday, right?
Yep.
They could have said, we're not going to do this, but what do you say? You walk into a room and you go, listen, we're not going to have this fantasy auction because a bunch of Nazis ran people over yesterday. And then you're basically saying to everybody, we all kind of know what we're doing is racist. You know what I mean?
You're
putting it out there. Like, we go back to the post 9/11 stuff. When you remember when announcers used to get called out for saying, they're going to war in there. Oh, and you can't say they're going to war anymore. They're not going to war. Real people are going to war. Like, there has to be a certain leeway of tolerance of just sort of common sense in this world. But I do get your point. And in hindsight, too, if I'm ESPN, I would have sat back and said, this just doesn't look right. We have to adjust this. Like you said, let's get some guys around the table, of mixed races, friends, sort of, drinking beers in that atmosphere, so to speak, as you're right, as opposed to a bunch of white guys in khakis bidding on black football players.
Exactly. It's perception. It wasn't reality, especially where we are in this country right now, dealing with what we're dealing with who we're dealing with. It's just not worth it. I don't think anybody's going to accuse ESPN of racism. I don't think anyone's going to honestly accuse ESPN of being overly conservative, right? ESPN is the definition of liberal media. So I don't think that's truly what people are thinking. I think we're oversensitive right now, and we just want to be careful. ESPN wasn't careful.
But are they liberal media? That's the whole thing, too. And, I hear, like, the alt-right, the ratings are down because they're too liberal. What do you mean they're too liberal? What, because they fired Kurt Schilling. for saying stuff? Britt Henry got fired. She tried to join that little crowd. You got fired because you were just another dime a dozen chick on the network. You were lucky you didn't get fired when you yelled at the girl that worked at the parking garage or the parking lot or whatever. And you see right away, she's a wannabe Foxer, right? She's trying to get into that. She started a website. Oh, I'm a Republican. I was persecuted. This fake persecution crap is full of crap. But I'll tell you what, ESPN hears this stuff. Why do you think, Greg, they brought back Hank Williams this year? Why do you think they did that?
Because of what they heard. Everything you're saying.
Yeah. It was exactly that, right?
Yep.
You know, so they threw the bone, and it's kind of sad to see sports networks chase that stuff. I'm not down with that, but nevertheless, I want to get your take on that, but you raised a good point about how it was handled.
Exactly.
All right, so from a football standpoint, I'm extremely high on the Arizona Cardinals this year. I went to a gaming conference in Costa Rica, the one Manziel was at, and caused all the stir. Went to the conference. I gave Arizona over 8.5 wins, one of my best bets of the year. What we did on the Fantasy Sports Network, our sleeper week, I had Carson Palmer in a big bounce-back situation. And, in fact, I had John Brown in a bounce-back situation. I'm starting to wonder about my John Brown prediction right now. And subsequently, I'm wondering about my Palmer prediction because he's connected to John Brown and everybody else. And, you know, I'm sure you saw the quote. Bruce Arians said, you know, coming into camp, I thought we had like 12 guys that could catch a football. He goes, I think we got two. I think we got two. And Larry Fitzgerald was one of them. Not happy with the wide receivers. And let's be honest, if you look at the wide receivers on paper, there's a lot of ifs, man. You got to hope, really. If you know, you don't know what you're going to get from Nelson, and John Brown's inconsistent even when healthy.
100% agree. I think the two people that he had that can catch football are Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson. And I think it's very funny where we have come as a fantasy community, where 3 weeks ago, all everybody was talking about was John Brown is back. John Brown is healthy.
I said it. Good. I was one of them.
We did it for hours on a morning show. And ultimately, he gets injured a day later. And the squad injury has kept him out for weeks. And Bruce Arians comes out with his quote. And then all of a sudden you hear, wow, John Brown's back. Until he's like, no, I'm not back. I'm going to take my time. And that pissed Bruce Arians off. He's an old school coach. He wants you back on the field, and he doesn't care if you're hurt until you become like Delvin Bro and have a contusion in your leg, and really it's broken in New Orleans. But the fact is, when it comes to Arizona, I understand why people think they'll bounce back. I understand why you believe they'll go over 8.5. But they are very, very brittle. I don't think they're not talented, because they are, but there isn't that much depth there. Right now, Jerron Brown, I believe, is listed as the starter over J.J. Nelson. Yeah. So there is just not much depth there. If Larry Fitzgerald or Carson Palmer goes down, or certainly if David Johnson goes down, that's it. They're finished.
Yeah, but we could say that. You're right. I can't disagree with that. But we could say that about 90% of the teams in the National Football League. One thing, and I can't believe we're out of time already, but Larry Fitzgerald turning 34 on August 31st. This guy's caught more balls in the last 2 years than he's ever caught. And like on a down year last year. So even if, Greg, there's a drop, and I've seen projections. Wow, he's only going to get 87 catches. That's pretty good.
So, really good.
Yeah. So, he might not get 107 again, but where's the competition coming from? Totally. Arians isn't screwing around. He wants to win football games.
Yep.
Heavy dose of David Johnson, and Palmer's going to find Fitz in the slot. Bam, bam, bam. Johnson, Fitz, Palmer. Johnson, Fitz, Palmer. So I like Johnson, and I like Fitz from a fantasy standpoint.
I totally agree. As Corey likes to say, we know exactly what we're getting. It's David Johnson, it's Larry Fitzgerald, and it's nobody else. So the fact that Larry Fitzgerald is still a bargain in fantasy drafts right now is mind-boggling to me, because it's a very, very obvious play.
All right, it's too bad. I wanted to get to Dak Prescott and how I think people are sleeping on him, and how Zeke Elliott's suspension actually creates more fantasy value for Dak Prescott.
Yep.
But we'll be able to get to that in the future. Thanks for the time, Greg.
Appreciate it, Gabe.
There's Greg Sussman with us. We take a quick break. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, joins me next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Well, they say in the Canadian Football League that the season doesn't start until Labor Day weekend. And normally that's the case. It's a long season, all right, guys, in the Canadian Football League. It's 18 freaking weeks, too long. But we're at the halfway mark right now. It's hard to believe we're already here. Yet I'd say that these games really do count right now, especially for the Hamilton Tiger Cats or the Ottawa Red Blacks, because you've dug yourself a pretty deep hole, and we're already into week 9, and Ottawa stuck on one win, hard to believe. Not fully, though. I told people, last year was an anomaly with that team. And the Hamilton Tiger Cats, shocking. I didn't see this coming with the Tiger Cats, and the Tiger Cats would be winless right now. Let's bring in a Tiger Cat fan and one of the best CFL cappers in the business, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, sportsmemo.com, sbrpicks.com. Babano steps up and in. Babano, let's get right down to business. We don't have a ton of time here. So tomorrow night, we've got the Edmonton Eskimos and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, in which it's going to be a kick-ass football game here, man. Big game. Two very good football teams. The Eskimos, 7-0. Bombers playing great football this year for Coach O'Shea. 5-2.
Great game it's going to be, Morenci. West 17-2-1 straight up this season against the East. I mean, it is an absolute disgrace as far as I'm concerned that the East Division is as poor once again as it is. It can't have any team playing at a high professional level, it seems.
It's always this way, but it's been this way my whole life. Like, I remember there was a little run there. Remember when Danny Mack and Tracy Ham were in the league?
Yep.
When the Ticats won with Ron Lancaster and stuff. The Alouettes and the Ticats were good then, but seriously, yep, for the most part, Babano, the CFL Eastern Division has always sucked.
It's been brutal, and it has been again this season. So when I was handicapping, and the reason I bring that up is because when I was handicapping this Winnipeg-Edmonton game, I'm interested to know. I don't give a shit. Winnipeg and Edmonton. I don't give a damn what Winnipeg and Edmonton did against the East Division. I care about what they did against the West Division.
I got to tell you, of all of our
guests
that I wouldn't expect to swear it'd be Babano.
No. Get the editor out. But what I was interested in.
You're doing too many podcasts, Babano. You got to learn. You got to learn to separate it, man.
Winnipeg and Edmonton, what I was most interested in was the West Division, how they would do against the West. Winnipeg has only gone 1-2 straight up against the West this year. Edmonton's gone 2-0 against West Division teams this year. Now, both games were against BC. I understand that. But still, Edmonton's done better, and Edmonton's getting healthier, Morenci. I mean, Mike Riley has been tremendous. He's been dealing with depleted parts around him. Three offensive linemen, Gabe, were out last week, and they still won the game against Ottawa. They're getting two of those linemen back this week. Danny Grew's back. Starting center Justin Sorensen is back. They get Duke Williams back at the wide receiver spot. Edmonton has done a remarkable job finding ways to win. It's hard for me to bet against them in a price range where all they have to do is win in order to cover the number here, albeit on the road against Winnipeg. Bombers have played well, but Edmonton keeps finding ways. They're getting healthier on offense, but they are still dealing with defensive injuries. Two key defensive linemen out for this game, Marcus Howard, Armando Sewell. I think that could be a problem. I think we got a high-scoring game, and I think it's hard to go against Edmonton right now.
Yeah, the Bombers went under the number last week, but for the most part, they've been a high-scoring team, 5-2 to the old. So far on the season, the Eskimos are actually 3-3-1 with totals. Eskimos defense is pretty good. They only give up 24 points a game. They score 29 a game. The Bombers are scoring 34 points a game, but they give up 31 points a game. So yeah, it's hard not to take a look at the over. It's a high number at 58.5. Red Blacks and Ticats. So this is a train wreck of a football game, except the Red Blacks don't suck. They just don't know how to win. And it's amazing that all 8 games, the Red Blacks, have been decided by 7 points or less. But whatever. I mean, they don't know how to win. And Hamilton are just terrible. I don't have any confidence. June Jones never done anything. He got lucky 1 year in Hawaii once. You know, June Jones isn't helping anything there. Like, the wheels have just completely fallen off. I'm just not in a hurry to lay 3.5 with the Red Blacks here.
More than happy to just sit back and watch this game, Gabe. It's really that simple. And I will say this about the Hamilton Ticats. You've been a disaster this season. That was a pitiful effort last week against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The offensive line is a complete disaster, a complete nightmare. They can't run block or pass protect. I better see a win at the Donut Box Friday night. I'd better see a win. And if I don't, if I see the same crap I've seen all season long, so help me God, you'll leave me no choice, but to keep watching and rooting for you and paying for season tickets. Who am I kidding? I'm not going anywhere. I'm a loyal Ticat fan. I'm not leaving this team's side regardless of how they play. But, yeah, this is a clear pass for me.
Yeah, you know, I lean the Red Blacks, but I bet you the Red Blacks win by three. They won't cover. Like, it's, this is one of these games.
I could see it. I could see it ending in a tie. Watch it end in a tie after overtime.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me either. The Cats are 1-5-1 ATS, but they are 5-2 to the over. And we should note this to the over. Your games are going to go over when your defense gives up 39 points a game. Like, it's almost impossible to give. Like, what is this? Are you a college team? What are you, the SMU? Like, you're giving up 39 points a game. They only score 18. They're being outscored by an average of 21 points a game. It's a freaking train wreck. So I'm going to lean with Ottawa here. But, you know, the game's Friday, so we won't give our pick till then. But I do like the over 56 as well. All right, another good game, high-profile game. And I keep telling you, Babano, the BC Lions are soft and they're overrated, dude. I don't know if I want to lay 4.5 here. Huge Western tilt. Jennings wasn't ready to play last week. Wally Botto was less than pleased. But that's the Canadian Football League, man. Kevin Glenn, 1 week. Next week, Glenn will suck because that's the way the league works with him. Stamps are 5-1-1 straight up, 4-3 against the spread. They're 5-2 to the over. They're putting up 36 points a game. They're only giving up 20 a game. 16-point differential, very impressive. Lions are 5-3 straight up, 4-4 ATS. They're scoring 28 a game, giving up 27. Hard not to like the over in this game.
It definitely could be high scoring. BC's defense was awful last week, but you have to separate a bad performance from a team that didn't show up. And BC didn't show up. They were not ready to play a football game last week against Saskatchewan. And if you watch the TSN broadcast, Wally Buono before the game pregame speech says, "Hey, when I enter the room, what are you guys supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be coming together as a team and into this huddle close to me and listening to me. Make it look like you're not interested." Well, he was clairvoyant, or Kreskin, or Miss Cleo Part 2, whatever you want to call it, because he called it. He nailed it. This team was not ready to play football last week. They had their heads in the clouds. They rolled Saskatchewan the week before, and they thought it was going to be easy and able to beat them down just once again. It did not happen. They just weren't ready to play. There was poor effort on both sides of the ball. They weren't interested in that game, Berensi, last week. They'll be interested here. Calgary beat them in the West Final last year. BC's been better at home. BC's 7-1. Straight up and against the spread off a loss since the start of last season. It's been a great point spread role for them. Wouldn't surprise me to see it be another great point spread role for them. I think Lions are challenging to win this game here.
All right, the Owls and the Argos, just like last week, there's no point spread right now. But Ricky Ray's probably going to play. He's practicing. He's expected to play. He says he doesn't feel any pain. He says, I'm pain-free, some soreness, but that's to be expected. Argos are expecting him to play. No point spread right now in this game. Hard to believe, but the Alouettes are in first place. And the Alouettes can win this game. They'll bury the Argos. Like, they'll have the tiebreakers. The rest of the division's going to be too far back already almost. I told you, Babano, this Alouette team, they're coming on, playing good defense, and their offense gets better. But we got less than 1 minute, Babano. Literally, we're at the end of the show. So any NFL preseason games this week you're looking at?
Yeah, Montreal, quickly on that game, the only thing that's only team right now that's on an upward trajectory in the East Division. Montreal is getting better week by week. Can't say that about the other three dopes in that division. NFL preseason-wise, I think Tampa Bay worth a look against Jacksonville. Tampa Bay is going to extend their starters this week, according to Dirk Cutter, the head coach. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can laugh, pick Patrick, you know, all that you want. We've laughed about him in the past, but he's going to get a lot of playing time in the second half. That's a good thing against backup defenders. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to make plays late in the game, and I don't like Jacksonville's rotation one bit here in this game. I think Tampa Bay at near pick'em gets the job done against Jacksonville. I also like the under, Baltimore-Miami, on Thursday night.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. You can follow him on Twitter, at Babano. You can find his picks over at sportsmemo.com and his videos over at sbrpicks.com. Thanks for the time, Babano.
Good stuff, Morency. Have a good one.
There's Ian Cameron. Let's take a quick break, and I've got four baseball picks for you.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Man, has football started yet or what, man? Oh, we got some baseball picks. You know what? If you notice this week, guys, every night this week, I've gone 0-2 to start the night, and then I bounce back with the West Coast. All right, so tonight we're going with the Royals again. Actually, this is this afternoon. The Royals game is this afternoon. Going with the Royals. The Jays. I'm never right with Jays games, but I like Stroman. Remember I told you Stroman to go over 10.5 this year. He's at 10 right now. Yankees, minus 145. I'll take the Bronx Bombers in the Subway Series. And here's a two-team parlay for you. The Cubs and the Dodgers. Other than that, you're on your own, man. The winners be yours.